This is not theologically correct, but I'm going to tell it anyway. It was this one particular day, and these three religious leaders all died. And they appeared at the gate of heaven and saw St. Peter. St. Peter said, "Well, we're all full, but we've been preparing some additional space for you, and so I can't let you in right now. We have to have you spend a few days in hell." Happened to be a Baptist minister, Catholic priest, and a charismatic preacher. And so they go down there, and about 3 days later, St. Peter gets a call from Satan, and he says, "You got to get these guys right now." He says, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "Well, the Baptist minister, he's saving everybody. The Catholic priest is forgiving everybody. And the charismatic guy, he's raised enough money to put in air conditioning." Today, that's an interesting title for a joke after that, Higher Standards. But we're going to talk about that. And when Debbie read it, one of the things that it kept recurring is, you've heard that it was said. So this wasn't anything new. My son's grandfather was a custom home builder. And I had the opportunity to help him. He built homes when people were building houses. And I know you know what that means, because homes are certainly different than houses. This was in the 1960s and 70s and 80s. He was building $250,000 homes in a community where other builders were building $60,000 and $70,000 houses. He never cut a corner. I even saw him look at every two before that he picked up, and he never ordered prefab trusses. He cut them all. And he'd look at a two before, and if it was warped, send it back. If it didn't meet his standard, he wouldn't use it. And I looked at that, you know, and I'm thinking how amazing that is, that people have such great pride in what they do. And he wanted me to turn, you know, or he wanted me to take his business over, he wanted to turn it over, and I really wasn't what my aspirations was. But it would have been a great opportunity to do that. But I looked at what he did, and then I looked at the people who worked for him. He had one particular guy by the name of Les James, great friend of mine. He and I served on the city council together, and he would do finished carpentry. And he would take a piece of wood, and he would take a knife and whittle it to fit. He never did a joint that butted up. He did a joint that fit over that other piece of wood. Amazing craftsmen. They both really were. And then I realized, how was he able to do that? And he sat at the master's feet of someone that showed him how to do that. It wasn't something that was just acquired. Last week we talked about how Jesus was urging us on to a higher standard. He said, you know, that we are the salt, we are the earth, and it was a higher standard than any of the religious leaders at that time were accustomed to. They were accustomed to doing the same thing day in and day out, over and over, and that was fine. In other words, he said, you can change the environment that you're in. And that's the first thing that he really said to us. He said, you can be light in dark places. And I thought, Friday night we were at the Presbyterian Church. And there's really probably in some of those people's lives not a darker place that you would ever imagine for them. I mean, they're coming in on Friday and they're eating the same thing that they ate last Friday. But it was a warm meal. And I thought about that, and I tried to be some salt and some light to some people. There were some people coming up with short hair, and they'd be looking for a hat, and I said, well, it looks like the wind blew your hair away. And we would, you know, I would say different things to them and try to, you know, try to encourage them and try to make them feel good. But that's a dark place. But that's what God wants us to be, is light in dark places. We can do great things for God, but we have to change our environment. And we have to make things and do things differently. So what he's asking us to do is to be that very present salt and light. Make that a presence in our lives is what he was trying to say. As Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And we say, no, Jesus, you are. And he comes back and he says, no, you're the light of the world. And we say, no, Jesus, you are. And Jesus comes back and says, no, you are. We are. I am. That's what Jesus is saying to us. What he does is he lifts us to a higher place than we could ever attain on our own. We can't do the things that we think we can do without his help in our lives. When we become part of something like that, it's the amazing feeling that there's something bigger out there, something greater than just me. And our connection to that mat, to our master, is really what enables us to do those things. Because if we sit there and think that we can do it, you know, we sit there and think on our own, well, you know, we can pray for Larry Brown and, you know, and he'll be okay. But if there's not a God there to direct that surgeon, it's never going to happen. We can pray for Pat, our friend. And you can send cards and send encouragement to her, and you did that. And she appreciates that. But if there wasn't a God that reached down and touched her life, she wouldn't be cancer-free today. That's the God that we serve, and we're part of that because we are salt and we are light because we prayed for her, and she come to us and asked us to do that. Well, how does she know that? Something happened somewhere, and I'm not bragging, but something happened somewhere in our relationship that she realized that. Wilma mentioned a couple needs. Wilma sits here and listens to us talk, preach, encourage each other by answered prayer. So you have that faith to come and that confidence. And what that is, that salt and that light bringing hope into a world. We can strive all we want, but we can't attain it without God touching those lives. And I said earlier, you know, when I was talking about that, Jesus starts each one of these different episodes, and I like the way that Debbie said, you know, and broke it down, because each time he said, you have heard it said. For instance, he says, you have heard it said to those who lived long ago, don't commit murder. But I say to you, you have heard that it was said, don't commit adultery, but I say to you, and he goes on and he talks about it. Jesus knew how powerful it was when someone looked at him or looked at someone and said, you have heard it said. In other words, somebody came before me and said the same thing, so you're hearing it again. Oftentimes I'll talk to someone and try to encourage them and try to lift them up. And what they have heard is someone said it to them that you're never going to achieve anything. You're just going to be average. That's not what God created us to be. Oh, you can never escape the past. You got to remember, you've been divorced. You can't pastor a church, you've been divorced. That's a lie. You can't do this because of something. You can't be successful in business because you filed bankruptcy. Well, you can't tell Dave Ramsey you can't be successful because he's making more money now than he's ever made in his life before after he filed bankruptcy. So you can't tell people that. So what Jesus is saying is we are that salt. We are that light. You can overcome your mistakes. But what happens to people when they listen to that nonsense and that garbage is it paralyzes their lives. And they need someone to come along and someone to provide some encouragement, someone that can change their lives. What Jesus does is Jesus sets a higher standard of how we should live. Not the standard that we might set for ourselves, but he sets a higher standard. And what he does is he helps us realize what our whole potential is when he changes Saul and when he changes lives for achieving God's purpose. Not for achieving our purpose, but for achieving his. And when he does that, he'll turn your world upside down. And stop and think about someone that walked through those hills and walked through the cities of Jerusalem and Nazareth and everything and looked at someone and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That is someone that is turning someone's life upside down, totally changing them. That's not a God who wants us to stay the same. I liked what Carol said today. I no longer want to be in the kitchen. I want to be out with people. That's God changing someone's life. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in the kitchen there washing dishes. It needs to be done, and there's a ministry for everyone. There may be a person out there talking to people that's not comfortable there, and God wants them to do something different. But that's how he changes our lives. And that's how he impacts us. Because what Jesus did is he set a standard, and then you know what he does? He raises the standard. He changes the standard. He raises it. I'll pick on Carol again. Because I'm up here and she's back all the way in the back. But Carol could have been happy in the kitchen. I mean, I've been fine. I've served food there before, and it was fun. You know, it didn't smell very good, but it was fun. But it's more fun to be out there talking to people and encouraging them, shaking hands with them, patting them on the back. There was a couple there that had three little kids. They were maybe that tall, Carol. You know, two little boys and a little girl. I don't know, they might have been twins, triplets for all I know. I mean, I'm not sure. But they were just adorable little kids. And they all had got scarves and they were putting them around their neck and they had it up over their face. And Cindy would have been 800 degrees with all those clothes on standing in that building. But they were adorable. And I'm thinking, they have maybe nothing. I don't know. The lady couldn't speak. She had a speech impediment. Her husband, I don't remember hearing her husband say anything. I think he did. He come back and they got a different scarf. But you know, when I look at that, and I'm thinking, that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to be there to help people. He wants us there to do things for people. He said in Matthew 5:21, he said, "You have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, don't commit murder. And all who commit murder will be in danger." But he says, don't even be angry with your brother. That's taking it a step further. Taking it a whole lot of step further. He says, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But if you look, this is not gender specific either, I will tell you. But he said, every man who looks at a woman lustfully, has already committed it. Seriously? That's what he's saying? Yeah, that's what he's saying. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But if one slaps you on the right cheek, turn to the left and let him slap you on that one. What in the world is he saying? He's saying salt and light. Jesus is saying change. God is coming into your life. God is renewing himself in our lives. It's not about legalism. I can show you legalism. I lived in it for a long time. Jesus doesn't have a big, huge rule book that he's got out for us. He's got a book that gives us direction. He's got a book that tells us what we need to do. He's got a way of showing us how to live a different kind of life. He's got a way. He's got a book that shows us how to live a prosperous life, how to live a healthy life, how to live a joyous life. That's what this book's all about. It's not about what you can't do. It's what you can do. That's what it's all about. And that's what he wants us to get into our mind. People cannot keep living in anger, you know, and have anger in our hearts, have lust in our hearts, have anything in our hearts. Those are the two examples that he gave. Have anything in our hearts that destroys our relationship. Because what it does is it destroys us inside. And we have to take care of the root issues of that in order to take care of what our outwardly actions are. God created us to be an outgoing Christian, to be an outgoing person, to give, to be salt, to be life. He even said that if you have anger against your brother and you go to the altar, what did he say? He said, leave your gift. Work out that issue and then return. That's how important sacrifice is. It's how important the sacrifice of our lives is. The upside down that Jesus wants to experience is a life in which things like anger and bitterness and things like that no longer rule our lives. Those things are gone. We've made the decision. Instead, we're ruled by Jesus. And it's amazing how God can change our hearts and turn them upside down. Heard the story of a young man by the name of Andrew who was converted to Christianity, and he found out that a bunch of people in his church were going to go do Habitat for Humanity house and build one. And so the story is told that he's there at 7 o'clock at the church on a Saturday morning, and they go out and work on this house. And after they're done, they go back that night, and he says, okay, what are we going to do in the morning at 7 o'clock? And the response was, well, we only do this once a year. We don't do this every day. But that's how someone's life has changed. And they want to take that a step farther. The truth about Jesus is really it's all good news. Everything that he has said to us is good news. When we encounter him, you know, for who he truly is and for what he truly wants from us is just us. And so that's one of the things that we want to talk about next Saturday. Is what's he want us to do? How's he want us to go about ministry in this community? It's not about rules. It's not about anything like that. It's not about all the stuff that we can do. It's about what can we do to be effective. I got a note from a person that said, I can't be there Saturday, but I'd like to be, but I can't. But I want to get involved. And I wrote back and said, well, we're going to have some follow-up meetings on what we come up with. We're going to take everything that we get. We're going to sit down and go over it. And we're going to see really where we can impact our community. Is it a higher standard? It really is. One of the things that I remember, and I think it was the Pastor Parish Committee when we were talking, or something, maybe it's a vision team, I don't remember. We were talking about this one thing of, you know, everybody, when I talked with them, everybody said we need to grow the church. And we do. And then, you know, next time we sit down and we're doing some things, and somebody said, yeah, but no, we never had a plan before. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to sit down and lay out some things that will help us get there. Will we mess up? Probably. Will we do something wrong? Maybe. I don't know. But we'll be able to do things different than we've ever done before. And we'll be able to do things in a different way. Because when you spend time at the foot of the Master, you find out how to do things differently. You find out how to build a home rather than a house. Jesus does not desire for us to stay the same. He wants to forgive us. He wants to heal wounds. He wants to heal attitudes. He wants to change our lives. He wants to show us how beautiful, how unique, how peculiar we can be. And he uses Jesus to show us that. Andrew found a higher standard when he wanted to do something different. So Jesus is saying that we must address things that are on the inside of us. If there's some anger, if we have some bitterness towards someone, if there's ill will, or if there's something, no matter what it is, and it can happen to a Christian. I mean, we can get the attitude, or we can take the attitude about something that, I don't like this, I don't like that situation. I don't like Larry's black sweater. I mean, it can be the littlest thing. And that's what Satan will do. And ruin a perfectly good relationship with him. Because it's, as I say, the Bible says, the little foxes. Not the big stuff. It's the little stuff that sneaks in and gets a hold of us. It's anger. It's bitterness. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe you've had an issue with your wife, your husband. Maybe the kids aren't doing exactly, they might be 45 years old and they're not doing what you want them to do. If you have 45-year-old kids and they're not in church, they're probably not doing what you want them to do. Or if you've got 20-some-year-old kids and they're not in church, they're not doing what you want them to do. So I think that's what, when we don't want that to become bitterness. We don't want that to be a situation that affects our relationship with them, number one, or with God either. So I'm going to take a few moments, and I just want us to bow our head, and I just want us to just look inside before we plan next week on going outside of really where am I, and do I have anything in my life? Is there any strife? Is there any uneasiness? Is there anything I'm not really comfortable with that's in here that I really want, and I'm not saying it's sin. Don't get me wrong. It could be, but if we just have some jealous feeling about something, I don't think that's sin. I think it's something that God wants to cleanse us of and take us to the next step. So let's pause and just think about that. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. And we're thankful, Father, that you brought us to be salt and light. Two things that change bland to flavorful and dark to light. And so, Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to be a church that is open and a light that shines through us. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for helping us to open up our lives and look inwardly and then having the courage to say, take it away. I don't want it. I don't need it. Because I need more of you. In Jesus' name we pray.